This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 7:17 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So for our next story, we're looking at the Court of Appeal having overturned a 2 million ringgit corruption conviction against Tengku Adnan Tengku Manso, or you might know him as Kunan. He was, of course, our former Federal Territories Minister.
So Kunan was found guilty of receiving for himself a total of 2 million ringgit from a businessman, Tan Sri Chai Kin Kong, who's the director of Asset Kaya Mas in his capacity. So this was in Kunan's capacity as Federal Territories Minister. So according to the charge, this 2 million was deposited via cheque belonging to Asset Kaya Mas into a bank account owned by Tat Mansori Holdings, in which Kunan allegedly had an interest. So essentially, he was sentenced to 5 months jail and fined 2 million ringgit. So what we're seeing now is an appeal against that ruling, and it's now been overturned.
Yes, and it was a majority 2-1 decision, so it was not unanimous, and it was overturned by the Court of Appeal. And he's been acquitted and discharged. Now, in terms of the disagreement, essentially, the reason for the acquittal is that Justice Datuk Suraya Othman basically said that the High Court judge had failed to take into consideration the evidence given by Chai Kin Kong and MECC investigation officer Mohammad Saad Bordani, who had said that the 2 million ringgit allegedly received by Kunan was a political donation. I would also like to repeat one more time, because it is such an infamous quote, what Kunan said at the time, where he downplayed the amount, saying that 2 million for him was merely akin to his pocket money. Just to give, I think, an idea of what we're talking about in terms of political funding and the problems surrounding it. So we want to know, what are your thoughts on this decision? Do you think we need reform for political funding? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. And now we have joining us Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or C4. Cynthia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hello.
Hi. So could you start by walking us through the initial conviction from the KL High Court back in December?
Yes. If you will remember back in during that time in 2020, Kunan was actually charged for corruptly receiving 2 million ringgit for himself from businessman Chai Kin Kong from the company called Asset Kaya Mas. Now, the whole issue behind this whole thing was whether that 2 million donation was actually meant for political donation or whether it was actually meant for himself. It very interestingly tried in the High Court, and he was actually found guilty and he was convicted. But today, unfortunately, that decision was overturned. And what basically happened was there was a majority of 2-1 at the appeals court, which ruled that the 2 million in question was indeed for political donations and it was not for himself. So it's quite a terrible blow for the fight against money politics and in corruption in general. And our major concern is two. One is that the predicated close links between businessmen and politicians became suddenly okay today, based on what the appeals court said. And it actually was for political donations. When, if you actually look at the broad judgment that was released later in the day, there was some pretty damning facts that suggested that the judges may have probably needed to scrutinize, for example, whether it was really for political donations, although a big part of the judgment was based on a receipt that the developer had received from Tengku Adnan from an UMNO Wilayah Persekutuan branch. And so that receipt basically made it look like, yes, UMNO had accepted it. But then when the UMNO Secretary General was also put on trial. He said that there was no such funds that was received by the UMNO headquarters. So this is really the case, because once that information was revealed at the trial, the MECC had gone over to the UMNO headquarters and they checked on the different checks that were issued during that period of time, and they found that there was one particular check. And according to the appeals court judge, the learned court, the judges today, they basically said that the defense lawyers did not actually cross-examine the developer again to ask if that was a genuine check, a genuine receipt that was issued to him, and so on and so forth. But what I'd like to highlight is, if you look at the broad judgment, para 12, actually, it's quite damning to the whole thing, because it says here that para 12 actually says that the chief operating officer of Tadmansory Holdings, which is actually the company in which the check was transferred to, and that company's major shareholder is Tengku Adnan himself, the chief operating officer actually said that Tadmansory did not make any payments to UMNO after that, after receiving the 2 million. They did not make any payments to UMNO, nor did they have any dealings with Esad Kayamas. But they did acknowledge receipt of the 2 million. So then the question that I would ask, and I suppose any other thinking Malaysian would ask, is that despite that the receipt being given to the developer, and the developer would be, okay, that's over then, because Tengku Adnan had actually asked for donations to provide UMNO with funds for the Kuala Kangsar and Sungai Besar election. There was no proof or no evidence to suggest that that money was actually transferred to an UMNO account. Tengku Adnan had signed the receipt as the UMNO Wilayah Persekutuan head. But there's no proof that actually showed that that money had moved from Tadmansory Holdings to any other UMNO account. And the CEO of Tadmansory Holdings said that there's no record of them actually transferring the 2 million anywhere. So now the question is, where is that 2 million? Did it actually get transferred to an UMNO account? And he was charged under Section 165 of the Penal Code, which is also a charge for the abuse of power for persons in public office. And it is this that perhaps needs to be scrutinized, whether Tengku Adnan had also abused his position in asking the developer to provide the donations to his own company and not directly to any UMNO account. So if the money was actually meant for the UMNO Wilayah Persekutuan body, then why not transfer that donation directly there? So I think the question now is, where is the money? Is it still at Tadmansory? Was it actually used by Kunan for personal gain? These are the questions that need to be answered. And so I sincerely hope that the Attorney General would look into appealing the matter at the federal court. And it was a decision of two in one. And I think what's really glaring here today is the fact that we don't have any regulatory mechanisms or even a law around political financing. So if you receive a donation of 2 million, you should declare it to the income tax. That law we have. And we do not have anything to regulate the nexus between business and politics, and how this outcome today, and this, which I would say this terrible outcome today, basically will embolden politicians to go look for businessmen, get favors from them in order to be given favors later, etc. A quid pro quo relationship, which is, I scratch your back, you scratch mine relationship, in order to win favors for both parties. And this nexus between business and politics is what we're really, really concerned about. This is where money politics rears its really ugly head. And this is also how we know many a time elections is won by money and money politics, rather than your vote or my vote. So it's quite damning, really. And we're pretty disappointed with the outcomes today. And we do hope that the Attorney General would actually appeal to the federal court.
So, Cynthia, what kind of reforms do you think are required then? How would political funding reforms address cases like this?
Well, for one, the central factor is transparency in political funding. So if any donation is received, there should be, say, limits to how much can be donated by a particular donor. There should also be limits as to whether the donation should come from a foreign entity or a local entity. And there should be a controller or some kind of independent body that actually tracks the different kinds of donation. So when transparency becomes a central pillar of a political funding law, it's then nothing that takes place under the table anymore, or it goes off with the table as a the notion goes these days. It's really about knowing and being able to scrutinize which political party gets how much money. And we don't deny the fact that political parties do need money to run their activities and get political support, etc. But it needs to be made accountable. And I think this accountability is what's missing. And the political financing law cannot stand on its own without other sets of reforms. So one other reform that needs to go with the political financing bill would be to track illicit enrichment, which means having asset disclosure systems and asset declaration law, et cetera, to actually track illicit enrichment. So what did this donation actually go for its original intended purpose, or was it also siphoned off for some sort of political gain? So if we had these regulations in place and we had transparency at the heart of it, where citizens like you and me can actually apply through a right to information law over matters like this, then it also eases the burden on the business sector and the developers, because they don't have to then be stressed by the system to provide 0.1% of their profits for bribery and fraud, etc. Because then everything is on the table. And there could be a system to also encourage that donations could be non-taxable and different things, depending on what you're funding. And sometimes you could be funding a political party for a charitable project. And so whether those things could be tax exempted and many different things like that. But the central issue behind why things are getting so bad in Malaysia is that we don't know until it's too late. We don't know until a particular corruption crime has already been committed. But we'd really hope that this is not a discouraging factor, and it'll be an indication for more people to start asking questions about what happened to this 2 million. Ask the Attorney General to actually get an appeal to the federal court, and that is possible for it to be appealed. So it is these reforms that started somehow a little bit in 2018. It stalled, and there was change in government, and everything's in limbo currently. And it's rather problematic because Tengku Adnan himself, as we have been tracking in the work that we do, is embroiled in several other issues which were linked to his time as Federal Territories Minister. And one of the more famous ones that everybody knows is also, one was the DNAA, the issue of the 1 million donation given by this other developer called Tan Eng Boon. He was also the central figure in the Taman Rimba Kiara case when he was the Federal Territories Minister. The Taman Rimba Kiara case is also, it was won at the appeals court level, and it's being appealed again at the federal court. And issues of developing public parks, looking at development of housing buildings in Kuala Lumpur and all have to have proper oversight. And this is something that should not be taken lightly. And I believe we really have to push for not just a political financing law, although that will help target and address the mother of all corruption. It also has to be accompanied by an illicit enrichment law, for example, and a right to information law. When we're going to be able to get all this, I don't know, but we have to keep the momentum going.
Cynthia, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or C4. And now we're headed to the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.